the A&E departments. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. If you have a church Bible, is page 1079. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we read the first 11 verses. The first 11 verses of the second epistle of Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Peter is telling us here, don't just stumble your way into heaven. Don't stumble. Don't loiter. Go there full of faith, having been fruitful in this life. Hallelujah, for the glory of Jesus. What a statement this is. God isn't finished with us yet. Hallelujah, glory to his name. He still has a work to do in your life and my life, if we are willing, so that we can enjoy the Lord here below, whatever our circumstances, and have an abundant entrance into the glory land. What also God is saying through Peter's writing here, never use the excuse that, well, I've always been like this. I can't change. The Apostle Peter is saying, no, you won't change on your own. But that is why you have these exceeding promises, precious promises, that you are partakers of God's divine nature. With God, all things are possible. The pagan cannot change because he has not been transformed inside. You have, I have. So what was 2008 doesn't necessarily have to be 2009 in God. Hallelujah. Priorities. The founder of McDonald's restaurant, I'm told, was asked by a reporter about the order of his priorities. And he said to the reporter, God, then my family, and then McDonald's. Then he added, when I get to work, the priorities change. In other words, it's McDonald's before God. And so many people enter the public arena, don't they? And their priorities change. And so easily put God on the shelf or back burner. God may be something of a priority on a Sunday morning, and when things get tough, but otherwise, he's almost out of sight and out of mind. What are your priorities in life? Be honest, what are your priorities? What occupies most of your waking moments? Now clearly, of course, we've all got lots to do. We've got families to raise. We've got work to do and school to go to, college to go to, clearly. But what is occupying our thinking? Because more than likely, unless we're willing to change, what happened 2008 will take place 2009, because you're in a rut. We'll stay where we are. Everyone, all of us who are in this building, all those outside, all have priorities. Even those who are suffering awfully, awfully, awfully in the Middle East, in Zimbabwe and other places on this planet, people who are going through terrible, terrible suffering. Some of these priorities may be that I can just get a glass of water. We all have priorities. What are your priorities? What are mine in the eyes of God? The spiritual, the eternal part of our life, I would suggest needs to be of a greater priority with all of us. I believe that each day we should be thinking about eternity and how much better it will be when we're with the Lord forever. I know that's hard to think about and envision, but actually we are encouraged in Scripture to do just that. And surely our looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus encourages us, because we think one day soon we will be with him, and this body of sin and all of its corruption and temptations will be no more. Hallelujah. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Every time we enjoy something in life, and there is much we do enjoy, rightfully enjoy in life, we should praise the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for giving me so much. Above all, thank you for giving me Jesus. This is a priority. This should be our priority in the year 2009. More praise, more thanksgiving, more expressions of appreciation to the Lord. We must be a thankful. Let's, in this new year, work at including the Lord in everything we do, every aspect of our lives. If you are engaged in something, or something which where your heart is and God isn't in it, then we need to renounce that for the sake of our own souls and eternity. Be thankful. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a person who was thankful, wasn't he? Actually, he was in prison when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks. He was in prison, but he says, in everything give thanks. He understood that gratitude is life-changing. Gratitude is life-changing. Let me quote from Matthew Henry wrote. Matthew Henry was a grand biblical scholar, and I've got, as some of you will have, his commentaries on your shelf. This is what he said after he had been robbed of all of his money. He'd been robbed of all of his money, and he wrote this in his diary. Firstly, he says, let me be thankful because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, that although they took my all, it was not worth much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not me who was doing the robbing. What a winning attitude! What an amazing Christ-given attitude! Because thankfulness is a choice. And since it is a choice, we need to answer the question, am I a thankful person? Are you a thankful person? Whatever may be going on, are you still a thankful person? One of the things which I'm trying to model in my prayers at home and here in this place, and whenever I pray publicly or with people, is first of all, I want to come with thanksgiving. I want to come with praise. And I notice sometimes we can just go straight in. We're praying for a person and we just go straight in with a petition, with a need. No. Come to God. Exhort the Lord. Be thankful. Be thankful because he still hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. Be thankful. It's a great attitude. And then we get God's perspective on the needs before us. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. In the passage that we've read here in Peter, you see, Peter was delivering a wonderful exhortation. This isn't philosophy. This is a matter of eternal life and death. Let's now, friends, deliberately choose to be a thankful people, a thankful person. The Apostle Paul, in another place, when he talks about, hey, don't offend other people willingly, is not so much your conscience, but other people's conscience you've got to take into account. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. It's a good attitude to have, isn't it? You see, someday in heaven, our lives are going to be surrounded by God, by the Lord himself. And we need to make sure we've got a good start on that relationship right now, don't we? If one day soon we're going to be surrounded by the Lord. We need to allow the Lord to be part of everything in life. Marriage? God. God be in my head, in my understanding. Never could stand that song. But it's true. It is very true. God be in my marriage. God be in my family. God be in my children. God be in my work, in my college. God be in my fun times. We should never sit down with a meal without saying, thank you, Lord. And remembering those who are without. We should rise up in the morning without thanksgiving and committing it to the Lord. Without talking to the Lord. Friends, we should be in constant communion with the Lord as though he were our best friend. If he is your best friend, we should be talking to him, communing and listening to him. If he's not your best friend, if he's not my best friend, then we probably are ignoring him. But on earth, I'm not going to ignore my best friend. God, we sing it, don't we? You're the greatest thing in my life. And he loves to hear his people talk and commune with him, and so that he can share what's on his heart. Hallelujah. You see, there's no one who knows us as well as our God does. And he still loves us. He still loves us passionately and compassionately. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. We shouldn't go to work in the morning. We shouldn't go to school, college, without asking for the Lord's wisdom and strength. We should not deal with people without the Lord's loving heart and grace working in us. We should desire to deal with people as the Lord would and pray that way. So what is the A? The A department. It's not accident. Not action. No. There's not abundance. It could be all of these things. We could all preach on it, but you won't get it. Adoration, it could be, it's wonderful, but it isn't.
Attitude?
It could be attitude, but it isn't. It begins with I. Analyze. See, when you go to the accident department of the hospital, they don't assume anything. They check you out. They examine you. Okay? You're analyzed. Sometimes too much for our own good, but we're analyzed. And the Word of God is telling you and me, analyze all things. Analyze all things. Test. What does Thessalonians say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Paul's prayer is that we may be sanctified in all our aspects of life. Spirit, soul, body. Every part of our life, every part of the Christian's life should bear evidence that we have been set apart. Set apart to the Lord. Set apart as holy to Jesus. And then what will result is that we will have an abundant entrance because we will be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, this year we must be thankful, but we need to examine and test everything in life. We need to analyze. We need to sift, test things in our lives. We do. We must analyze things that are going on around us, at our work, at school, college, in the world, whilst we're socializing. Because we must hold on to the good and throw the rubbish, the evil, away. Reject the evil. I'm reminded of a story about a little lad. He was only a small lad. And one day he said to his mother, "Do you know, Mummy, I'm 8 feet tall." "Oh, I'm not even 8 foot tall, and you only come up to my knees," his mummy said to him. She questioned how he arrived at being 8 feet tall. And he says, "I'm 8 feet tall," he says, "because I've measured myself by this little ruler. See, Mummy? 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot. And it tells me I'm 8 feet tall." But isn't that what we tend to do, friends? We measure ourselves by our own ruler. Many Christians come to faith on their own terms. And they remain in faith on their own terms. We measure ourselves with our own little rulers rather than this and the Holy Spirit which indwells us. A girl called Mandy And I've just plucked this name out of the sky because I don't think we have any Mandy's here. If we do, forgive me, it's not personal. But a girl called Mandy said that she was a Christian, that she believed in God. Well, she said she couldn't remember really the last time she went to church, and she admitted she rarely read her Bible, and she didn't really think too much about prioritizing God in her life. But she said, well, but my faith carries me along the way. Well, her faith is what is called Mandyism. You see? It's belief on her terms. And unless she repents, she'll land in hell. You see? Using our own measurements, or comparing ourselves with the person next door who's sitting next to us or whatever. Well, I'm not as bad as her. If only you knew what I know about them. I'm good, I am. Oh yeah, let me look at my forehead and see the goodness there so that I can... No. We compare ourselves with the Word of God. But it's the thinking that many people have. If we think something is okay, then it will be all right. But of course, what we need to remember is our thinking is not always right, is it? An immature believer may find himself struggling with these things, and I guess we all do at times. That's why we need to humble ourselves before the Word of God and also need encouragement from others. But I know of some thinking that is always right. Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, page 1057. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, an immature believer, a carnal believer, is living for himself and hasn't particularly analysed himself in the light of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So, the word of God is the word of truth. Hallelujah! The word of God is the word of truth, and it is always right. It's right on creation, it's right in revelation, it's right all the way through. It doesn't mean to say every word that people spoke was right, but the word of God is right and is therefore our prophet. Hallelujah. It's a beacon in the darkness of falsehood. It's a beacon to us. It always contains the truth about life. So instead of measuring our life and how we're doing by our own ruler, we should measure or analyse everything with the word of truth. Amen? That's the way to know whether something is good or something is bad. By the word of God and the Holy Spirit, which is the writer of the word, who's now living in us. That's the only way to know for sure. Hallelujah. You see, as we conclude, the world is preaching to us every day, isn't it? Whether we realise it or not. The world is preaching to us. It's giving us a message. It's in our face every day of every week. The world is preaching to us through the TV. Through the TV news, through its programs, its soaps, its movies, its documentaries, its advertisements. It's giving a message, it's trying to impact us, isn't it? The world is preaching to us through the internet. The newspapers, the movies, the billboards that we see, the people around us. They're preaching, they're trying to get a message to us. Friends, neighbours, family members, work associates, schoolmates. So we need to be analysing everything that is coming our way. We need to. So that we choose good with God's help and God's grace. Brothers, sisters, your and my standard of measuring is not based on our feelings or what we think. It should rightfully be based on the Word of God. And if something doesn't stack up to God's Word, then it doesn't stack up at all. And we should refuse it. Analyze everything with the Word of God. Be thankful. Giving thanks to God for everything, in everything. Analyze. That's the A. What's the E? E. Pardon? Well, you better get them because you might be here for a very long time if you don't come up with the answer. totally different. E. What E should be a priority for this year?
Eternal.
Eternal is good, but it's not. I mean, eternal is good, but it's not the answer. Expect, yeah, it's good, that's great, but it's not.
Excellence is
excellent, but it's not the answer. The A&E department, something else which should be happening now more and more as routine, individually and as the life of the church. Pardon? Thank you, Mike. Evangelism. That must be our priority. And I hope shortly, friends, to announce that how this is going to be helped and assisted in making this a greater priority in our life here as a community and individuals. Watch this space. Amen. I'm reminded as a foretaste for next week, of what that evangelist, not Dwayne Moody. Dwight Moody says, yeah, Dwight Moody, he said this when he was criticized for his evangelistic methods. Moody replied, "I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we accept that in these very critical and turbulent times that we're living in the community, in the nation, in the world, and circumstances which may be affecting and impacting the lives of even people in this congregation and those we know and love, that it is easy to put our focus on those issues, on those things. Please help us. As we have been looking, dear Lord, at the attitude of Caleb, of Joshua. Help us, whatever is going on, to see God, the God of the impossible, to have a different attitude than that of the world, and even perhaps a different attitude to what we had in 2008. Because with your help, it doesn't have to be that way. I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit now, you'll help me. I want to be a thankful person. I want to rejoice in the Lord always. I don't want to be known as somebody who just sees the mountains, the trouble. I don't want to be somebody who's known to have a negative attitude, Lord. I want to be known, dear Lord, as somebody who takes great confidence in your ability to transform situations. I want to be known as somebody who has great faith in you and your word. I want to be known as somebody who perseveres through trials and tribulations. I want to be known as somebody who is honest and open. But knows that they're a partaker of your divine power. Resurrection power. I want to be known, dear Lord, as somebody who is sanctified, set apart to be holy. Help me to analyze, Lord, these things so that I may grow in you. Not to analyze so that I just become introspective. No, Lord, that's not what you want. That I may just deal with these things, lay them at the cross, and then move on in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. I want to be known, Lord, not for my sake, but for others and for your glory, as an overcomer. Not one who is overcome by their circumstances, by their situation, by what is happening elsewhere in the world. Lord, your word tells me that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you have spoken. We've read some precious scriptures today. Help us to love the word of God, that faith will be built up. That we are different to the world so they may see Jesus. So that evangelism is just part of our daily walk and life. And we also take active steps in your power, in your grace, to evangelize and preach Christ in all of his fullness. That it will not be laid at our door that we shunned to declare all of your counsel. Help us, Lord. We need you and we thank you. You are for us. Thank you, Lord. You know us intimately. And you still love us passionately. You want us to have a prosperous 2009 in your grace. Because we are a blessed people to bless others. Help us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Help us to deal in grace with others, Lord. That they may be one for Jesus. For your sake, we ask it. Amen. Okay, we'll sing a final song, and let's just continue and flow in the Spirit of the living Lord God. Thank you.